Merry Christmas, everybody. The light has come. Yes. Isn't it great to know that Jesus has come with his light and it is spreading it throughout the whole world? What a great time of celebration. And that's why we're here. And it's amazing the lives that are changed just by believing in Jesus Christ. It is so incredible. So the topic for today is finding peace by forgiving. Why is that? Why did Jesus come? He came to forgive us for our sins. And he leaves us a pattern to follow to forgive others as well as ourselves. That's why the light has come. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be glad. Let us be glad in it, because we have the light. The light of the world has come to set things straight. And the wisdom of the gospel is absolutely amazing. There are hundreds of principles in the Bible that we could focus on that would help us be successful in our everyday life. But I'm going to focus on one, and that's forgiveness, because that's why Jesus came. Let's open up with our verse for today from Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And we will see right away that Jesus shines and that he's our Savior, and that his purpose is to bring peace through what he's done. Here it is. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Wow, Jesus came to give us peace. But we're in a world that doesn't look like very peaceful, does it? And that's because there are two kingdoms in this world. There's the kingdom of darkness, and there's the kingdom of light. Jesus came to show us the kingdom of light. We have a choice. This kingdom of darkness is bitterness and anger and hatred and resentment and fear. And the kingdom of light that Jesus has ushered in for us to take hold of is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the kind of kingdom that I want. I want to be a part of that. But how does this peace happen? Jesus, there's a couple of things that we want to look at with Jesus. Jesus is the light. Jesus said it himself in John 8:12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of the world." This topic of forgiveness was really inspired by our men's group. Our men's group was studying forgiveness for 8 weeks, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. And when I saw their lives being changed because they knew how to forgive people, they knew how to forgive themselves, and to live the life of forgiveness, not just one time, not just two times, but all the time. And when I saw that change, I had to bring that word to you today. The light has come, and that light is within now. And so, what else do we know about Jesus? Jesus said he's God. In John 10:30, he says, "Jesus answered them, 'I and the Father are one.'" Jesus is God, so whoever better qualified to bring us forgiveness than God himself? And then Jesus tells us one more thing about himself, about this topic of forgiveness and his authority to forgive. In John 14:6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am life. Those who trust me will be given eternal life." Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life. Well, how do we bring this into more practical terms? He says, well, because there's so many storms in life, how do we apply this? Well, when we navigate the storms of life, I know one thing. We're either in trouble just getting out of trouble or about ready to get into trouble. And so we have to have the Word of God in His light in order to handle all of these different situations. In this situation, Jesus is going to teach us this morning about forgiveness. By illustration, I know I did pick out this next illustration because of our veterans. Pearl Harbor was celebrated yesterday, and we thank you for all those veterans that served. And so I picked out a story about a military story. It has some humor in it, but on the other hand, it has a serious message as well. And this is a story about the battleship or the lighthouse. And I'm going to show a picture of a battleship, and you'll see a lighthouse right next to it. So as I read this story, keep in mind that when battleships are out in sea, it's always rough. There's always, always rough seas, and they're always concerned. Listen to this story about the battleship or the lighthouse from Frank Koch in the U.S. Navy Institute. Two battleships assigned to the training squadron had been at sea on maneuvers in heavy weather for several days. I was serving on the lead battleship and was on watch on the bridge as night fell. The visibility was poor with patchy fog, so the captain remained on the bridge keeping an eye on all activities. Shortly after dark, the lookout on the wing of the bridge reported, "Light bearing on the starboard bow." Captain called out, "Is it steady or moving astern?" Lookout replied, "Steady, Captain," which meant we were on a dangerous collision course with another ship. The captain then called to the signalman, "Signal that ship. We are on a collision course. Advise you change course 20 degrees. And then back came a signal from the light, "Advisable for you to change course 20 degrees. The captain was getting a little upset. He said, "Send this. I'm a captain. Change course 20 degrees. "I'm a seaman, second class," came the reply. "You had better change course 20 degrees. By that time, the captain was furious. He spat out, "Send, I'm a battleship, change course 20 degrees. And back came the flashing light. "I'm a lighthouse." We change course. Let us not overlook the light that has come in Jesus Christ. We may have a lot of things going on in our lives, and we do. There are problems and issues. It's kind of like a battleship just smashing into those waves and going out. You wonder, man, what am I going to do? But keep your eye on the light. Keep your eye on the lighthouse, and in this case, keep your eye on the light of Jesus Christ. No matter how tough things get, keep your eye on the light, because the light will guide you through safe passage every single time. When we focus on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His Word. That is the battleship and the lighthouse. Stephen Covey said on his Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, he says, "I am surprised how many modern people do not understand that all of light has an underlying structure, and there are certain universal laws and principles that God has built into our earthly existence, and when we violate them, at our own peril." Let's not violate this principle of forgiveness. Let's work it into our lives and be a people of compassion and understanding and mercy for other people so that we can forgive them. Jesus did. He went to the cross and shed His blood and paid the price for it. And He gave us that pattern, and we're going to look at it here soon. Jesus came to forgive. He said in Luke 23:34, when He was on the cross, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And there's a lot of situations in our life that our hearts are pierced and we're hurt. And you know, that's okay, because we're to have compassion on those people. You don't know what situation they're going through. But Jesus said, "Forgive them." And so that's going to be our theme for this morning. Forgive no matter what. So what is forgiveness? Forgive means to wipe the slate clean, to pardon, to cancel debt. Well, I like the sound of that. I had a student loan one time, and I don't remember anyone canceling that debt, but I had to pay for that over many years. But But wiping the slate clean, starting fresh, that's what Jesus gives us an opportunity to do. When we focus on his word, that light comes into our life. He gives us wisdom, and we can make decisions that make us successful and prosperous. Another definition of forgiveness is an act of love and mercy and grace. As things happen to our lives, and maybe people hurt us, and maybe we hurt others, sometimes we just need to forgive. Love means to forgive no matter what. And the last definition here is forgiveness is a decision not to hold something against another person despite what they have done to you. And that only takes God and the Holy Spirit working within our hearts to be able to forgive those who have hurt us and forget it. So who paid for this gift of forgiveness? Yeah, well, in Ephesians 1:7, it says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." There was a problem. And with Adam and Eve, way back, the first people on this planet were Adam and Eve. And actually, there was no sin at one point. Isn't that amazing to know in the scriptures? Boy, I'd like to return to that. And so Adam and Eve were in the garden. They were supposed to cultivate it and build it and expand it. But God says, "See that one tree right there? Don't you dare touch it. Don't eat from that tree." And what did Adam and Eve do? Okay? They ate from that tree. And that's when all the sin came into the world. And I know one day when I get up to heaven, I'm going to look for Adam and I'm going to say, "Adam, what were you thinking?" And all that sin, all that bitterness and anger and hatred and resentment and sin came into the world. But Jesus said no. Father said no, "I'm going to send my son Jesus. I'm going to send Jesus to forgive him of those sins and to restore my people to myself." And so Jesus went to the cross. Yes, we see the light that the shepherds saw, this glorious light. But Jesus was on a mission. That was just the first part of the mission. The second part of the mission was to go to the cross and to hang on the cross and to shed his blood and take the sins of the world upon himself and impute that to himself. And he died. And so the Father said, "It is finished. I am satisfied." So now Jesus opens up, now that he's risen from the dead, he's opened up eternity to all those who believe. And now forgiveness is possible for not only us, but us to learn how to forgive others. And wow, does that change families. That changes yourself. That changes businesses. I know I'm an information technology project manager. I'm managing 5 projects right now, but I can guarantee you there's going to be problems in every one of them. People problems, right? I'm already ready. I'm ready to forgive before a project even starts, right? Because I'm ready. I know what's going to happen. But I extend mercy and compassion. You know, people are under stress. People do things that are a little bit unusual. And so learning these principles, I follow it, and I follow it in my life as well. So Jesus paid for it. Now, how do we receive this gift? It's a gift. You just receive it. "I trust the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because he forgave my sins, and you are born again." That's it. Listen to this. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It's a free gift. You just take it. That's pretty good to be under the tree like that, right? A free gift of eternal life, forgiveness of sin, and living a life in the light of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wow. Living with his wisdom, applying his wisdom. So how to find peace by forgiving? Have to go to Apostle Peter, because he's always my favorite character. He's always goofing up, right? But we learn a lot from him. Listen to this. Matthew 18:21. "Then Peter came to Jesus and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?'" That's a good question. Once, twice, 3 times? Up to 7 times? Oh, Peter was being generous, right? He thought. But then Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. I know you're math majors. You're going to say that's 490 times. That's it, right? No, it's a figure of speech. meaning that we are to be a people who are constantly forgiving others. There might not be apologies coming back, but we have to protect our relationship between us and God. God says, if I'm going to forgive your sins, even after you're born again, he said, you need to forgive others. You need to keep the slate clean. And so even Jesus said that if you have something against your brother, go and take care of it. Go and resolve it. Forgive. And then the blessings will begin to flow. So Jesus explains this peace by forgiving. And there are five steps, but let's read the story about the unforgiving servant. Matthew 18. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. There's no way he could pay that back. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had, and that payment be made. But the servant fell down before the king and said, Oh, master, have patience with me. I will pay you all. And the master of that servant was moved with compassion, and released him and forgave him his debt. You would think the servant would have learned to apply forgiveness, but he didn't. Listen to this. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, I will pay you. And he would not, but went out and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Shouldn't you not have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. We are commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ through this story to forgive. Because if we don't forgive, what happens? Another figure of speech, he hands us over to the torturers. The torturers is just a figure of speech explaining that when we don't forgive, there's this heaviness that we carry around on our shoulders at all times, right? And then if you have another piece of unforgiveness and another unforgiveness, it's almost like a heavy bricks just piling on top of you. My brother Lewis reminded me a couple of weeks ago about the story of the sheep. Have you ever seen sheep with heavy loads on their backs? No, they don't. They're not designed for that. So, and what does Jesus call us? He calls us sheeps. All right, we're not designed to carry heavy loads. And when we have unforgiveness, it's almost like carrying a heavy load. And when you put that heavy load on top of a sheep, guess what eventually happens? That sheep collapses, right? We are not designed. So when we go to the Lord and say, Oh, Lord, forgive me for my sins. I forgive that person for hurting me. I forgive and have a life for forgiveness. You're not carrying around a load on your back. And your countenance changes, and the joy of the Lord comes back. But when we carry around that plague of unforgiveness, it affects our lives. Release it. Release it. Let the light of the Lord shine within. You will be amazed what happens when you forgive everybody for everything, including yourself. It's amazing what happens. There are five steps I just wanted to review with you real quick from this story so that you will know what the steps are and how to forgive. So that you won't forget and you will hopefully enter it into your daily life. And remember, forgiveness is commanded by God. Number one, we found out from the story, is that open your heart to forgive. Be willing to forgive. The king here was listening to the story about the servant that he couldn't pay. He opened his heart and was willing to listen and to forgive. So Matthew 18:35 says this, open your heart to forgive. So also my heavenly Father will do to you, every one of you, if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. So open, be open to forgive others. No matter how, I know situations can be tough. But the Lord says, forgive anyway. You may not be able to reconcile that particular relationship or save it, but he says, forgive them. And just leave it to the Holy Spirit to resolve those particular issues. The second thing we noticed in this is that extend compassion. Matthew 18:27, and out of pity for him, out of compassion for him, the master of that servant released him and gave him the debt and forgave him the debt. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had had mercy on you? Well, if Jesus went to the cross to pay the price to forgive, shouldn't we forgive others? I know it can be tough. I know. I get it. But Jesus said, forgive. You can go home today in the quiet of your own home and list out every person and every offense that has happened, write it all down, bring it to the Lord and said, I forgive them for hurting me. And any situation that you've thought that you hurt somebody else, write that down too and say, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, clear the deck, right? Open communication to the Lord. This is what he wants. And then, of course, the next step, the third step, is release them from your heart. Matthew 18:27, and out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him that debt. Isn't it interesting, this figure of speech as well, is that when we are hurt from somebody, we kind of put them in this heart of prison, a prison heart within, and you lock it and you throw the key away. I am never going to forgive them. Well, what happens? Well, that changes you as well, right? The bitterness and the anger and the hatred, God doesn't want that. Let them out of the prison. Let them out and forgive them, right? Forgive them. I remember, even way back when I was 12 years old, I was playing football. This is American football, not soccer. I was playing football. I was 12 years old. We had just come off a championship season. I was a running back. And we got a new coaching staff. And I said, okay. And then I showed up to practice for the first day, and I said, what is that other team doing over there? Oh, that's the B League. I said, what's the B League doing here? We're the A League. He said, well, we're going to practice with them. And I went, what? You're going to have the A League team practice against the B League team. Well, what are we going to do? We're going to have hitting practice. We're going to hit each other. I said, are you kidding me? They're half the size of us. And I was thinking to myself, and at that time, you couldn't really negotiate with coaches at that time, you know, when you're 12 years old. You just do what you're told. Well, I was not going to hit that little kid because the drill that they said, they would line up from one side and you'd line up 5 yards away, and then this other kid would be like this, and they would blow the whistle and whack, and then you'd whack each other. And whoever was on the ground won. And I said, okay, I'm not going to hit that kid. This is what I was thinking in my mind. I'm not going to hit him. And so we lined up. The coaches said, okay, you're going to hit that kid, and you're going to be over here. So we got on our three-point stance. And in my mind, I was saying, I'm not going to hit that kid. What can I do? Okay, I know what I'll do. I'll drop to the ground right before that kid hits me, and I'll just go flat, and then his shoulder pads will hit my shoulder pads, and nothing will happen. And if the coach gets upset, I'll say, well, I just tripped over a dirt clog or something, right? And so here we are. We lined up, and he blew the whistle, and I did exactly what I thought I was going to do. I hit the ground so I wouldn't hit him. And that little kid, he kept coming at me. His shoulder pads didn't hit me. He tripped over me and did a double barrel roll and landed smack on the ground, lost his breath. I probably had a concussion, and I was going, oh, I was trying to avoid this, right? I was so angry with those coaches. I kind of harbored that for a while, right? I said, I didn't want to hurt this kid. I didn't want to do it. And so if someone had come to me and taught me how to forgive, I wouldn't have harbored that for so many years. Because the next year after that football season, I didn't play football after that. You know, I just said, I'm not going to do this anymore if that's the way football is. But it was just a misunderstanding, but I could have been trained to forgive. And so release from your heart, your prison heart. It might be coaches, right? It might be. And so forgive each other for each offense. In Matthew 8:27, forgive each other. Forgive each other. And then the fifth is bless and do good to that person. After you've forgiven people for everything, Jesus says, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Don't let things linger. Just forget and bless them. You know, what about people who have passed away that have hurt you? Forgive them. release them from your heart prison and forgive them, and then bless them. So I'd like to conclude with a final story about Corrie Ten Boom. In World War II, she was a prisoner in concentration camp. And this story really envelops and shows all five elements of forgiveness. You know, opening your heart, extend compassion, release them from your heart prison, forgive each offense, and then bless. Corrie Ten Boom, in World War II, she was in a concentration camp along with her sister for harboring in Holland Jews. They were protecting them and hiding them. And so they were caught and sent to this prison camp. And her sister died there. And she remembered one of the prison guards, and she remembered every single component of him. And then after the war, Corrie Ten Boom had a ministry. She was going into Germany and preaching the gospel of forgiveness. And this story really envelops what I'm trying to say today in forgiveness. This is her story. It was in a church in Munich that I saw him, a balding, heavy-set man in a gray overcoat, a brown felt hat clutched between his hand. People were filing out of the basement room where I had just spoken, moving along the rows of wooden chairs to the door at the rear. It was 1947, and I had come from Holland to defeat Germany with the message that God forgives. It was the truth they needed to hear the most in that bitter, bombed-out land. And I gave them my favorite mental picture. Maybe because the sea is never far from a Hollander's mind, I like to think that that's where forgiveness of sins are thrown into. When we confess our sins, I was preaching, God cast their sins into the deepest ocean, gone forever. The solemn faces stared back at me, not quite daring to believe. There were never questions after a talk in Germany in 1947. People stood up in silence, and in silence they collected their wraps, and in silence they left the room. And that's when I saw him, working his way toward me against the others. One moment I saw the overcoat and the brown hat, and the next the blue uniform and the visored cap and its skull and crossbones. It came back to me with a rush, the huge room with its harsh overhead lights, the pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the center of the floor, the shame of walking past this man. I could see my sister's frail form ahead of me, ribs sharp beneath the parchment skin. Betsy, how thin you were. Betsy and I had been arrested for concealing Jews in our home during Nazi occupation of Holland. This man had been the guard at Ravensbrück concentration camp where we were sent. And now he was in front of me, hand thrust out. Fine message, Fräulein. How good it is to know that, as you say, all of our sins are at the bottom of the sea. And I, who had spoken so glibly about forgiveness, fumbled in my pocketbook. Rather than take that hand, he would not remember me, of course. How could he remember one prisoner among those thousands of women? But I remembered him and the leather crop swinging from his belt. It was the first time since my release that I had been face to face with one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk, the guard was saying. I was a guard there. No, he did not remember me. But since that time, he went on, I have become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things that I did there, but I would like to hear it from you and your lips as well, Fräulein. Again, the hand came out. Will you forgive me? And I stood there. I, whose sin had every day to be forgiven, I couldn't do it. Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply for asking for forgiveness? It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, his hand held out, but to me it seemed like hours. I was wrestling with the most difficult thing I had ever had to do, for I had to do it. I knew that the message that God forgives has a prior condition, that we forgive those who have injured us. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, Jesus says, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. I knew it not only was a commandment of God, but as a daily experience. But since the end of the war, I had had a home in Holland for victims of Nazi brutality. But those who were able to forgive their former enemies were able also to return to the outside world and rebuild their lives no matter what the physical scars. Those who nursed bitterness remained invalids. Interesting. It was as simple and as horrible as that. And still, I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that. Forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me, I prayed. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You can supply the feeling. And so, woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into one outstretched hand. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, sprang into our joined hands, and then this healing warmth seemed to flood over the whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried with all my heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as then. And having thus learned to forgive in the hardest of situations, I never again had difficulty in forgiving. I wish I could say that. I wish I could say that merciful and charitable thoughts were always naturally flowing from me from then on, but they didn't. If there's one thing I've learned at 80 years of age, it's that I can't store up good feelings and behavior, but only draw from the fresh, from God each day, his fresh Holy Spirit. That's Corrie ten Boom. That was a tough thing to forgive. So as we look, we may be in a battleship ourselves and smashing through waves as we go all through life, and waves may seem to be crashing over, but there's one thing that we really need to do is keep our eye on the light. And not only keep our eyes on the light, but also to keep our eyes on forgiveness, because forgiveness keeps the light bright in our lives. And I'd like to pray, and then I'll hand it over to Pastor Daniel. Our men's group has put together a gift for you. We put a little card together about forgiveness. On one side, there's a verse about forgiving 70 times 7. On the other side, we have the card that says, here's these 5 steps to forgiveness. And so when you leave here in the foyer, you'll see those cards out there. Please take one and make that part of your Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for showing us that forgiveness is your way, and there could be peace in our lives by forgiving. Lord, please bless this congregation, encourage them and strengthen them, and tell them that forgiveness is your way. In Jesus' name, amen.